Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
We had further bizarre scenes at Westminster earlier today when a Labour MP turned up demanding admission to the Chamber of the House of Commons. The Commons famously was suspended early yesterday morning, but then today Scotland's highest court ruled that that suspension was unlawful, prompting MPs to call for Parliament to be recalled immediately. For more, I'm joined from London by George Parker, political editor at the Financial Times, and by the Scottish Nationalist Party MP Drew Hendry. Good evening to you both. George, it really does seem the tide is out for Boris Johnson at the moment. He fails to get legislation through the Commons. He fails in the courts. He's being accused of misleading the Queen. How long can he continue as though it's business as usual?
Well, it's been a pretty bizarre week, hasn't it, for the Prime Minister? I mean, you could have listed the fact that his brother resigned from the government, citing the fact that his brother, that Boris Johnson wasn't ruling in the national interest, and even the Duke of Wellington has resigned from the Conservative Party. So these are very strange times for Britain and for the Conservative Party, and Boris Johnson in particular. But yes, I mean, there's a huge setback, and I think, you know, the implication of this court ruling, as you say, is that he misled the Queen about the reason for the suspension of Parliament. And I think if that ruling is upheld by the Supreme Court in London next week, he'll be in a very serious position. And, you know, you've heard Dominic Grieve, the former Attorney General, saying he'd have to resign in those circumstances. But certainly, Boris Johnson is in a pretty sticky situation.
Drew Hendry, good evening to you as well. It was your party colleague, Joanna Cherry, who brought this case in Scotland's Court of Appeal. What does today's victory in that court mean? I know it'll be going to the Supreme Court on Tuesday, so it's not over yet.
Well, nobody believed for a millisecond that Boris Johnson was proroguing Parliament for the good of the people. That was purely to suspend the Parliament so he would not come under scrutiny, and neither would his plans over a hard no-deal Brexit. So the court, the three judges have ruled very decisively that what has been carried out by Boris Johnson has been an unlawful act, and they should now, his government should now bring Parliament back so that we can get on with the business we should be getting on with at the moment.
George, should now recall Parliament, but will Boris Johnson, under any circumstances at the moment, recall Parliament?
Well, the government's indicated that if the Supreme Court uphold the Scottish ruling next week, that Parliament will be reconvened. And they obviously feel a bit burned by the suggestion that they are prepared to trample all over the law after the suggestion last week, of course, that Boris Johnson might ignore a new law to stop him going for a no-deal Brexit. And earlier on today, there were some unnamed sources from Number 10 suggesting that Scottish judges were politically biased. And that has set alarm bells ringing in Downing Street, because Downing Street issued a statement very robustly saying, we will apply the law, we respect the independent judiciary and all the rest of it. But it's extraordinary that in these times you have the Prime Minister and his office having to say that the government will apply the law of the land.
Drew, you were one of those MPs inside the Commons at 2 o'clock yesterday morning when it was prorogued. And we can hear a clip, actually, of you and your fellow SNP MPs singing Flower of Scotland. Drew, I don't know what the rules are around singing in Parliament, but just describe those moments to me.
Well, the Parliament had gone into the state where they have to go along to the House of Lords to seal the deal, as it were, and there's a lot of pageantry about it. We certainly weren't going to take part in that. We weren't singing Flower of Scotland, by the way. The tune that you heard is Scots Way Hay.
Scots Way Hay, and apologies, it's Flower of Wales, is it?
Exactly. And, you know, there were Welsh songs, and also I think the Labour Party sang the Red Flag. We were just basically making a nice, tuneful, I think you will agree, and peaceful protest that this situation was going on, and we shouldn't have to do that kind of thing. Parliament shouldn't have been prorogued. Boris Johnson shouldn't have done that, and he should now obey the law, not just the ruling from the Court of Session that you've heard about today, but also the fact that 11 o'clock tonight, his government are bound by a vote in the Commons to release the details of the Yellowhammer report. showing the consequences of a no-deal Brexit. I very much do hope that he comes to his senses, backtracks from the narrative that he's been putting out about finding a way to break the law here, and actually complies with both the need to get Parliament back and running, back up and running, and releasing these documents so that people can see what it's all about.
And George, we certainly live in interesting times when the most gripping TV is watching the Commons at work late on into the night. The Yellowhammer documents, though, the release of those documents, how significant might that be?
Well, it might be very significant because it's going to reveal what the government calls that worst-case scenario for a no-deal Brexit. And we've had leaks of this document in the past relating to problems with medicine supplies, fresh food, petroleum plants closing and all the rest of it. Now, we are told the government is going to release a version of this document sometime this evening. We're sort of waiting for it to land on our computers quite soon. I imagine that civil servants have been told to go through it with a black marker pen to take out some of the stuff that they'd rather didn't get into the public domain. And it was interesting this morning, the business secretary, Andrea Leadsom, said the government wouldn't release these documents because they would concern the public. Well, we'll see whether they've managed to sanitise them to the extent that they don't concern the public, but I suspect whatever comes out tonight will actually be quite concerning to members of the public about what might actually happen in the government scenario on October 31st.
What about further documentation in relation to whatever happened in the middle of August around this whole question of proroguing?
Well, I mean, any further release of documents about that, obviously, that suggests that the Prime Minister was conspiring with his aides to pull the wool over the monarch's eyes about the real reason for the prorogation would be very serious. And we're talking about probably the most sensitive and revered part of the Constitution, the fact that the monarch stays above politics. And if it looks like that the Prime Minister has been misleading her about his motivation for this suspension of Parliament, then that's a pretty serious thing.
I want to play as well another clip of Boris Johnson, if you both can hold on with us, because in the last hour he has been on Facebook Live answering questions from the public, and he had a thing or two to say about, well, you guessed it, Brexit and the backstop.
I'm going to go to Lovie Dillon from Gloucester, who asks a very good question about the negotiations currently going on over the backstop and over the withdrawal agreement. And she says, considering Parliament has blocked no deal, what is the current status of the backstop? Well, Lovie, the backstop is going to be removed, I very much hope. And that is, I insist, because that's the only way to get a deal. The UK Parliament will not accept the current withdrawal agreement. There's no way that is going through. But the crucial thing to understand is that we will not accept, and I've seen a bit of chatter about this, a bit of stuff in the media about this, we will not accept either a Northern Ireland-only backstop. That simply doesn't work for the UK. We've got to come out whole and entire and solve the problems of the Northern Irish border, and I'm absolutely certain that we can do that. But we're working very, very hard, flat out, to do that.
Drew, I think he's clearly ruling out there the existing backstop in the withdrawal agreement and a Northern Ireland-only backstop, which was the starting point a couple of years ago now. What's the SNP's position on this backstop?
Well, I think it's typically reckless from Boris Johnson to be talking in that manner. I don't pretend for a moment to be in tune with Irish politics. I'm a Scottish politician in the UK Parliament, but I can imagine that it's very disconcerting for your listeners to hear that kind of rhetoric from him. We absolutely believe that there is no good Brexit for Scotland and indeed the nations of the UK, and that's backed up by every single piece of documentation that's been released, even by the UK government themselves, right up to what we know to be in the Yellowhammer document. So it goes from being very bad to catastrophic. So therefore, we believe that actually what should happen now is that this whole process should be stopped, and at the very least, this should go back to a vote of the people. But we're really keen now to get on, as soon as we get past the 31st of October deadline, to get off and have a general election and get the opportunity to kick Boris Johnson and his Tory government, his right-wing Tory government, out of power.
The thing is, though, George Parker, there's a long way to the 31st of October. If Boris Johnson were to recall Parliament and if he were to resign, could we still be looking towards a caretaker-type government?
Well, anything's possible, and that's certainly one of the possible outcomes of this, that Boris Johnson, in the end, decides he doesn't want to ask for an extension to Article 50, resigns, then Parliament gets together and finds a consensual figure, someone like the former Tory Chancellor, Ken Clarke, to go over to Brussels and ask for a delay, and then we could have a referendum or a general election. All these scenarios could play out. The only thing I'd say about this is that Boris Johnson is in a really serious hole. And I think there's been a dawning realisation in the last two or three days that the only way out of this hole is to go to Brussels and get a deal. The language is changing. You saw that a bit in Dublin this week when he was doing that press conference with Mr. Failure of statecraft. We've looked at what it would look like for a no deal, and it would be damaging to us and to Ireland. We don't want to do it. And the impression I get is that Boris Johnson will now pull out the stops to get a deal because, frankly, all the other options look pretty grim for him.
But George, stay with that, because we had him on that piece of tape there ruling out existing backstop, Northern Ireland backstop. How does he get around that and still get a deal before the 31st of October?
Well, that's a very good point. He will shortly be meeting a group of Northern Ireland business people in Downing Street, and they will be conveying to him two important things. The first is no deal will be what they call an existential threat to many businesses in Northern Ireland. And the second thing they'll say is, don't listen to the DUP. This idea of a Northern Ireland-only backstop, where Northern Ireland would remain part of the EU single market and obviously part of the UK as well, is not something that we fear in the business community in Northern Ireland. In fact, rather the opposite. It would make Northern Ireland a magnet for inward investment, because it were the only part of Europe with a foot in the single market and in the UK market. So he's under pressure, I think, now to face down the DUP. At the moment, there seems to be no sign that Mr. Johnson is prepared to do that. He says he's not going to go down that route of a Northern Ireland-only backstop. Mm. But there's a lot more flexibility in the language that Downing Street's using on this issue. And it seems to me that they are seeking now a deal and a way out of this.
But does he jettison the DUP, and does he jettison commitments he's made even as recently as this Facebook Live clip we just played?
I don't think he wants to jettison the DUP. He needs the DUP's votes to get a deal through, or at least it would be very useful to have them on his side to get a deal through if he gets a deal in Brussels. The other thing that's in the back of his mind is that if there is an election before Christmas, which we expect, it may well be another hung parliament. He could be back in Belfast begging for DUP support then as well. So he doesn't want to burn his bridges with a DUP. He'd like to find a way around the backstop question. So no doubt there'll be a whole load of different ideas floating around about rebranding it, treating the whole of Ireland as a single area for animal and plant health, for example, all those sorts of things.
Forms of words.
Try to find a way around it. Yeah, but I don't think at this stage he's not made the mental or political leap of wanting to ditch the DUP.
And Drew, I know you'd prefer to remain, but you want a deal at the very least. Is that the Theresa May deal?
No, the choice between the Theresa May deal and no deal is akin to a choice between being hit by a bus or hit by a freight train. We've nothing against the Northern Ireland being able to stay in the customs union in the single market. We think that would be fine, but only if Scotland is given the same treatment and allowed to do exactly the same thing. Don't forget, the Scottish government put forward a compromise proposal to the UK government shortly after the EU referendum, saying that if we had to leave the EU, then we should stay in the single market and the customs union. But like every other thing that's come from Scotland, from the 62% of people who voted to remain to Scottish Parliament, every party except the Tories voting against this situation, they've been ignored all the way. So it clearly is an unsustainable position now for this Tory government in Westminster to deny Scotland the choice over its future and taking our own place as our equal member state in the European Union.
What's your price for putting Jeremy Corbyn in Downing Street?
No, we don't talk in prices and deals just now. The critical and overwhelming priority for us as a party just now is to avoid a no-deal Brexit on the 31st of October. Then we want to go as quickly as possible to a general election so we can remove the Tories. You know, Scotland is going to be very clear, I believe, and when the Scottish electorate go to the polls, I think it'll be a very clear message. Of course, we'll work with progressive parties in the Commons to avoid a Tory government, but we certainly won't be doing any deals, and it's not really up to either Jeremy Corbyn or indeed Boris Johnson to say that Scotland can or cannot have an independence referendum. That's down to the Scottish people.
Well, more to come on all of this tonight. George Parker of the Financial Times, Drew Hendry, SNP MP. Thank you both very much for joining me.